Back in 1993, the original proposal from the Clinton administration on how to close the budget deficit that they had inherited upon taking office included a revenue raiser called a BTU tax, a tax on the amount of energy, measured in British thermal units, contained within all fuel sold. As I wrote in my book Surrender, such a tax should have been strongly supported by economists and politicians who subscribe to the Reagan-era analysis of supply-side economics. So-called supply-siders argued that the worst tax was a progressive income tax because it damaged incentives to work, save, and invest. The best tax, according to this approach, was one that created no incentives to change any behavior. A second best tax would be one that had no disincentives to increase income. A BTU tax, which only taxed the production of certain energy-producing technologies, would not rise as incomes rose, only if consumption of high carbon footprint fuels were to rise. A version of this tax passed the House of Representatives, but was killed in the Senate. A small increase in the gasoline tax was the only crumb thrown to the environmentalists as part of the 1993 deficit reduction bill passed by Congress. Imagine how much closer we would be to a significant reduction in carbon pollution if that BTU tax had been enacted over 20 years ago. Today, with climate change promising horrendous consequences for our grandchildren, the urgency is much more serious. And there is a new proposal, a carbon tax that will be immediately rebated to all citizens. As with the original BTU proposal, this tax should not be opposed by those who believe that rising income tax rates damage incentives. In fact, the impact on incentives will be positive. Consumers and businesses will have strong incentives to reduce greenhouse gas emissions. On top of that, combining that tax with the dividend payout will subsidize those individuals who will pay increased energy prices and be a significant net income increase for many lower-income people whose energy consumption is below average. The original proposal of a $15 per ton tax on carbon emissions was predicted to produce a 15-cent a gallon increase in gas prices. Given the wide fluctuations in prices over the past 10 years, gas prices peaked at over $4 a gallon in the summer of 2008, most people will have little trouble adjusting to a permanent 15-cent a gallon increase. The subsequent increases, as the carbon tax rises by $10 per year, will be even easier to deal with as alternative sources of energy become more competitive. Who knows? Such a law might finally bring the electric car to the majority of motorists. So if this is such a great idea, how come it isn't already racing through Congress to become law as quickly as possible? I assume most listeners know the answer. The oil, coal, and natural gas companies would stand to lose a lot of money if such a tax were enacted. The average citizen would be compensated with the dividend, but the cost increases caused by the tax would move consumers of energy away from fossil fuels towards renewables, ultimately consigning the oil, coal, and gas industries to the fate of the horse and buggy industry after the automobile caught on. This will be good for the economy and for the population, and indeed for the very survival of human civilization, but it will not be good for the CEOs and shareholders of fossil fuel companies. So they will continue to use their power to resist even as reasonable a proposal as this one, even if that means killing countless millions in the future as global warming takes its toll on our planet and its people.